And there's a play on at the moment. It's been on for a few nights, I think, and it's got tonight to go and tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night at the Ford Theatre, Geelong Performing Arts Centre. It's called God of Carnage, and it's got two of our best-known, that is to say in Australia, actors in it, Pamela Rabe and Hugo Weaving, and both of those famous people have joined me in the studio right now. Hello, Pamela.
Good afternoon, Doug.
Lovely to see you with your soft Canadian accent, as always.
Is it still? I'm moving mid-Pacific. Hopefully I'm somewhere in the vicinity of Geelong now.
Yes, you've got a very Geelong accent, yeah. Yes. And Hugo Weaving, thanks for coming in, Hugo. Lovely to see you. You're the only Australian actor I've ever heard of who was born in Nigeria.
Yeah, I don't know any other Australian actors born in Nigeria, so you might be right.
I'm pretty sure I am. Now, I'll get you both to tell me about the play, first of all. I've read something about it, and it sounds pretty feisty. How would you describe it, Pamela?
It's a recent play written by a very popular and successful French playwright called Yasmina Reza. Some people may know of her from previous plays. Probably the most famous one was Art.
Yep.
That was played at the Melbourne Theatre Company production many years ago.
Yeah.
It's basically a modern social satire about couples dealing, the two couples who meet, who do not know each other, to discuss an altercation that happened in a playground between their sons.
We've all been through this.
Yes, and they meet to deal with the situation like adults.
In a civilised way.
Yes,
I know that word civilised, Hugo. I know what that means. That's all sorts of trouble there.
It is, exactly.
Have you both, I don't really know this. Oh, yes, you've got two children.
Harry and Holly, correct, yeah.
And Pamela, have you got
children? I have a granddaughter, Chloe, yes.
Yes, and you have a stepdaughter too.
Yes, unfortunately, who passed away, but she's left behind a beautiful, beautiful little girl. Chloe, who's just turned 13.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear that. That's awful. Yes, how would you describe the play, Hugo?
Well, I mean, two couples meet to talk about something which they should be able to deal with but can't because of various emotions that they can't suppress, I suppose. And so it's a play about to what extent we're civilized, to what extent we can cope with instinctive sort of impulses that sort of get the better of us, and the chaos that ensues when we can't do what we'd like to.
The obvious thing about this play is that just about every adult in the world has gone through this. You know, I can remember thinking about getting a bit edgy about other parents of my children at school.
Yeah,
getting annoyed
when they say something about your child and the feelings that come up as a result of that because you feel like you're being threatened in some way.
Absolutely.
I think every parent understands that.
And the anxieties of rearing children themselves. That never
and
sure
the guilt
that
you might feel, maybe we're not doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
You certainly can feel it as you perform it. I mean, it's been a huge success. It just won the Tony on Broadway and it's been a big success in London and anywhere that it's played, really. And we've just finished a season in Melbourne, and to feel these kind of waves of laughter from the audience, and everyone's unified in a great woof of recognition and identification, but sometimes it moves to very male laughter, the fathers in the audience, and then very female laughter. I mean, some of the comedy does fall down the gender divide as well as the...
So would you call it rather ironic humour, perhaps?
Yes, it is. It's actually very...
It's not belly-splitting humour, is it?
Well, it sure is,
actually. Well, no, some of it is, huge waves of laughter coming at us.
It's a farce, you know.
What, do you play a married couple, you two?
No.
I'm married to Jeff Morrell.
Yep.
And Hugo's character is married to Natasha Herbert.
So there's tension between your two characters.
That's
probably the most obvious initial tension is between our two characters. Yeah. Natasha and I are the visiting couple. This is Jeff and Pam's house, or Veronique and... what's his name?
Yeah, Michelle.
Michelle's house. I get his name wrong.
Does it take place at your house?
No,
at our house.
Veronique and Michelle's house. And Alain, my character, and Annette are visiting to have this discussion.
Yeah.
And
it escalates.
Yeah.
And there's alcohol.
There's a little bit, sort of incidentally. But there's food and coffee and... attempts to leave and then attempts to sit down again and discuss things. And yeah, there's some drunkenness and some chaos and some vomiting.
And because it's a comedy,
vomiting and,
a comedy of civilization.
A bit of vomiting, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah, just
absolutely.
A bit.
Yeah.
It's nice, yeah. sorry, Pebble.
No, I was just going to say, because it is a comedy or a satire of civilization, there are many efforts to sort of regain civility,
yes,
which is actually where a lot of the comedy lies, and people do recognize that. And I mean, there are some sequences in it where it is like rolling wall-to-wall laughter. It's quite slapstick, actually.
And so the whole play is predicated on this tension about parents and children and rights and wrongs.
Yeah, and how what is the best way to educate and to bring people up. And and there are tensions between the couples, and there are tensions within the couples as well. And so different allegiances and alliances are formed over the duration of the evening.
Yes.
And that's kind of...
Well, it sounds very, very alarming to me. Anyway, it's at the Ford Theatre, listeners. It's at the Ford Theatre tonight and tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night. It has been on the last few nights. And that you can still get tickets. It's called God of Carnage, and the number to call is 5225-1200. 5225-1200. Now, if I might have a little personal chat to each of you now about your careers. Now, Pamela first. You must be 50 now, Pamela.
I am.
Born in 1959.
I've had my national bowel screening specimen kit sent to me in the post.
Yeah, I got that too.
Yeah.
I couldn't open the package they sent back, which said I was negative. But it took me ages to open it.
You wouldn't want to open it, would you?
No,
oh,
I see. It was just giving me a result. Yeah, that's not the only thing about turning 50.
No,
I mean, how is turning 50? Is it all right, Pamela? For you?
It's pretty good.
Mm.
I don't know. It kind of passed by pretty quickly. That's why I say that the bowel cancer detection kit was the thing that made me realise, yes, that's right, I have turned 50. It's good. I'm having a great time. I've had an incredibly fruitful last sort of particularly 5 years. And
Melbourne Theatre Company, Sydney Theatre Company.
Sydney Theatre Company. I was based in Sydney for the last 4 years with a permanent acting ensemble that Robin Nevin created at the Sydney Theatre Company,
yes,
and that's been an extraordinarily challenging and difficult.
Wonderful for me as an audience member to watch that company grow and change over two or 3 years, and seeing the work Pam was doing, absolutely fantastic. So a real thrill for me, just being one of the audience, to watch that company.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful work.
And you've done a lot of television over the years too, Pamela.
Not a lot recently, but done some here and there.
I remember Mercury, I think.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good fun. I did The Bite with Hugo.
Yes.
And Johnson script.
You came to Australia. I mean, I'll just remind our listeners that Pamela Rabe, R-A-B-E, is Canadian. Which city are you from originally?
Oh, I was born outside of Toronto, but I grew up in Vancouver.
Yes. And you came to Australia in 1983 because you married Roger Hodgman.
I married him here, but I came with him. Yes.
Yep.
I'd met him in Canada, and
he was the director of the Melbourne Theatre Company.
Yes. He'd been running a theatre company in Canada where I'd met him, and we fell in love, and he was offered a job back in Australia, asked me if I wanted to come, and I said yes, absolutely. And
you're still together, presumably.
We still are. Just had our 25th wedding anniversary.
I'm glad you could answer that question, though. Well, but it would have been awful otherwise.
Yeah.
So you've been together quite a long time now. And you had a fairly big culture shock when you first came to Australia from Canada. You had difficulty adapting to certain things, didn't you?
Well, not as much as I'd hoped, actually. I mean, I think I'd been wooed through Australian films. And
had you?
Yes. And
in
I
Canada?
Kind of expected to see some sort of mix between Picnic at Hanging Rock and The Cars That Ate Paris. And,
and Kangaroos Going Down College.
And it wasn't. And I think you passed a Hungry Jack's at the moment you came out of the airport, and it was all very familiar. But I think more than anything, it was probably the way I spoke that was initially a bit tricky. But once I got over that hurdle, I was pulled beers in a pub for a while. Was finally offered an acting job by John Sumner, who was the then artistic director of the Melbourne Theatre Company, and didn't look back really. So my whole career has been here.
You pulled beers at the Lemon Tree Hotel.
You've got everything, don't you? Mind you, we've talked before.
I know most things.
Yes, you know everything about
it. That's in Carlton.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that pub. And it took you a while to get into acting in Australia, didn't it?
About 6 months.
Oh, that's what I said. Is that all? Sorry. you were one of seven children?
Eight.
Eight children?
Mm.
And you once said, when you were asked by a journalist about your family, how they were going, you said, nobody's a drug addict, nobody's in jail, and nobody's dead. In fact, the journalist was me who you were talking to.
Well, that was then, of course.
Yeah. What's happened since? Is everyone okay?
Generally drug-free, generally, as far as I know. And they're all far away. Nobody yet still in jail, and we're all still alive, knock on wood. Yeah. And there's a few new additions to the family. I'm an auntie several times over now.
Yeah. Do you get to Canada at all to see your family?
I was there earlier this year. My mum, who's just about to turn 86, has had a little bit of bout with her health, but she's in good form now, and I get back when I can to see her.
Yes.
Miss them all.
You've lost all trace of a Canadian accent. You've got to.
Have I?
I wouldn't have the faintest.
People generally say Irish now.
Yes, I reckon if anything, it does sound a bit Irish. Now, turning to Hugo Weaving, as we said before, Hugo was born in Nigeria in 1960. You must be having your 50th next April.
I suppose I'll be getting that kit. I didn't know everyone got one, but.
You'll get the kit.
Yeah.
How's it been for you, the prospect of being in your 50s? You've had a very successful
I'm looking forward to it, actually, because next year will mark the year that my daughter, who's just about to turn 17, will leave school, and my son Harry left school a few years ago. So Katrina, my partner, and I are sort of redefining who we are, I think, as well. It was not sort of parents. We probably won't be parents in the same way at the end of next year. So
no,
I'm kind of looking forward to that, really, and what sort of plans we're making, and sort of thinking maybe of going to Europe for a year or maybe heading out to the country for a bit. And, you know, so we're sort of redefining ourselves, I suppose.
You and Katrina have been together a long time.
Yeah, about 26 years.
Yeah, and yet you're quoted somewhere recently as saying that you're petrified of the idea of marriage.
We're still not married. I'm not petrified about it anymore. We do joke about maybe getting married one day.
Mm. You live in Sydney.
Yeah.
And you always have since you came to Australia in 1976?
Yeah.
You came from England. Now, I'd like to go back to your school, Queen Elizabeth something in
Hospital.
Bristol. Hospital school in Bristol.
Yep.
What happened there? Was that a good school?
Well, it was a pretty amazing school. The thing I remembered about it even before I went there was seeing sort of hordes of these elaborately garbed school boys walking down the sort of street in double file, and that we wore these incredible school uniforms and sort of yellow socks up to our knees and then knee breeches and then these long blue gowns which were cinched in at the waist and had this funny little thing around the neck. So it was an Elizabethan, you know, school attire, and that's what we wore in the 70s. So
this school had nothing to do with your becoming an actor then, did it?
Well, no, nothing at all. No. It was a theatrical outfit. Certainly. There are three of those schools in England. But when I was a great school, I loved it. It was a funny mock Tudor castle that the school was housed in. And quite a small community, really. Right in the middle of the city. So it was known as one of the city schools, and fantastic place to grow up. And I was only there for about 2.5 years, but no, I loved it.
Then you came to Australia because your father's work took him around the world, didn't he? And your family settled in Sydney, and you were privileged enough to go to Knox Grammar.
I went to Knox, yeah. We actually lived in Tarramurra when I was younger. Probably, if we'd stayed there, I probably would have gone to Knox anyway. But kind of went to Tarramurra, Warrawee Primary School, and then travelled around the world and came back. And so we moved back to Tarramurra for the last couple of years of school. And yeah, went to Knox.
And was Knox a good experience? It's a posh school.
Yeah, it's a posh school, and it was funny for me because coming from England, even though I was at a sort of in many ways traditional school, I mean, just talking to you about the odd uniform we wore, I actually came to a much more conservative and old-fashioned school environment than I'd been at. It was quite liberal, really, the school in Bristol, and so this one it took a while for me to get used to that, but I had made a lot of friends there. And
were you good at things?
I always enjoyed a couple of English and history at school, and And the great thing about Knox, they had a fantastic drama department. So,
so they got you going?
Yeah, I was sort of had got involved in theatre at school in England, and so continued that the last couple of years at school.
And so, when you were at Knox. Was it then that you realised that you'd like to get into acting?
Yeah, it was around the time when I came out that I thought, oh, this actually, I sort of started getting serious about it. Well, what am I going to do when I leave school? And I'd already been entertaining ideas of maybe writing or and going to university when I was in England, thinking I'd like to kind of, and then started to work as in doing plays at school and thinking I really enjoyed that. But by the time I got to Knox, acting kind of became more sort of solidified, I guess.
Okay, and you were lucky enough or clever enough to get into NIDA, the National Institute of Dramatic Arts.
Yeah.
Was that really good, NIDA?
I absolutely loved it. Mm. Absolutely loved it. So, yeah, went to school, NIDA, moved out of home all at the same time, and suddenly I was in an institution where I felt very liberated, so and I had a fantastic time.
Along with quite some famous names, too, weren't they?
Yeah.
Was Mel Gibson there in your
time? No, I think he left the year before I arrived.
Oh, right.
I think, yeah.
So what was your first break?
After NIDA. Well, I joined the Sydney Theatre Company on a two-year contract, and
yep.
And what the contracts that they were offering at that time was sort of, they said they created an acting company. It was an amazing company of actors. Mel Gibson was one of the people in the company, and Judy Davis was in the company, and Robin Nevin, it was fantastic people, and John Gayden, and but actually Mel never appeared in the company, so he was nominally in the company, but actually the company didn't really exist. It sort of existed on paper.
Yeah.
So my first break was working with the STC over a 2 year period, doing about 8 or 9 plays. So it was a fantastic experience. But we also had time out, able to do film and TV as well. So it was during that 2 year period that I did my first film, and also
what was the first
worked
film?
In body did Bodyline. It was called it was called The City's Edge. Tommy Lewis was in it.
Oh, yes.
Dreadful film, absolutely.
The Aboriginal actor Tommy Lewis.
Yeah, Tommy Lewis. Yeah. Tommy Lewis and Mark Lee from Gallipoli.
Yeah, he's disappeared.
He directed Mark directed a film a couple of years back.
Yep.
Yeah. But no, that was the first film I did. Appalling, great experience, and we had a lot of fun, but dreadful.
I'd like to see it.
I saw it recently dubbed into Japanese. I think it might be better.
I saw you in way back in 1991. I saw you in a remarkable movie, I thought, called Proof, directed by, I think, Jocelyn Moorhouse.
Jocelyn Moorhouse, yeah.
And it was remarkable for another reason, too. Russell Crowe made his debut in that film.
He'd done a film called The Crossing just before that, but I think that was his second film, yeah. So
he was very young.
He was
noticeable. I remember thinking, who's that?
Yeah.
He's going to go a long way, and he has, hasn't he?
You were right.
Are you still in touch with him?
Not really, no.
Was he good to work with?
Yeah, we got on very well. Very, very charming. And he was very keen, because the character I was playing was blind, he was very keen to, and there was a friendship between our two characters on screen, he was keen to read to me, because he thought that would be something his character would do. So he would read great swathes of this book about the French Revolution, for some reason, to me every day, which was kind of interesting.
What? And you made Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. You did the Matrix films.
Yeah.
You've made films not only in Australia, of course. What do you consider to be your greatest achievement in movies?
Probably the two films I've most enjoyed of late, or most sort of got most out of, film called Last Ride, which we made last year, and a couple of years before that, Little Fish, which Rowan Woods directed. And so just, they kind of have, I sort of keep going in and out of being in love and out of love with the whole film industry and the idea of acting, and maybe do I want to do it. But Little Fish kind of came out of a period where I've been a little disenchanted with what I was doing, and that kind of revitalized me in the way which I was approaching what I was doing. And so that was a great experience for a lot of reasons. Actually, it was great to work with Rowan, and kind of complex character, so I could get my teeth into that. But I think probably those two films.
Yes, it's not the best country in the world to make a living at acting.
Well, it's also hard. I mean, it's a difficult. It's difficult for people to get films seen. Really, even if they are made, it's very hard to get audiences to go and see them.
But you've never been out of work, I don't think.
No, fairly constantly in work, but
which is a great achievement in this country.
Well, I mean, I feel incredibly kind of lucky and blessed to be able to balance my work with my family and have time out and, you know. So, yeah.
I'd like to ask you both this one. Has there been any screen actor or any other actor or actress who has been a particular inspiration to you? Pamela, for example, first?
Many. So it's hard. I mean, when you say that, the first person who comes to mind to me was Ruth Cracknell, because I worked with Ruth Cracknell many times and considered myself very lucky to be a friend. She was very supportive of me, and I adored her company. What about you, Hugo?
Many, many people, and sometimes the people that you might talk about are actually people that no one would know. And often the people I admire, someone like Paul Blackwell, who was at NIDA with me, who I think is a great clown, and I always thought he was, you know, some of those people are incredibly underrated or underknown or underutilized or underemployed, but they're the people who kind of stick
I've held up Hugo as being an extraordinary kind of role model for somebody who manages to keep that work-life balance thing under control and without in any way losing his extraordinary spirit, generosity, and curiosity as an artist. See, you can hear the water dripping.
He's quite touched.
He's in his pocket.
Hugo is quite touched by that.
He's an extraordinary performer.
I know he is, I've admired his work, both of your work, myself. I'd just like to ask you one more question. This is a question that I ask most people who are in the acting profession, and the answer that I've got most often, I should say, is Marlon Brando in On the Waterfront. And the question is, what is the greatest single screen performance of all time?
Oh, dear God.
I have to say, I really love watching, not everything he does, but a lot of what Ben Kingsley does. And I think, just thinking about great screen performances and thinking, and how varied he can be, and how he has affected me in dramatically different ways. So compare a performance in Schindler's List to something in Sexy Beast. Those two characters alone are like chalk and cheese, and yet they're both deeply felt and understood psychologically, and he seems to be free to work within the confines he set himself with those two characters. So I think someone like, I mean, look, I suppose you could name I don't know if I'd say any one of those performances was the greatest screen performance of all time. I don't know how you could, really. But depending on your mood, you know, a particular performance will. I mean, watching Fred Astaire
Top Hat.
Absolutely. Top Hat, Fred Astaire. I think, what an absolutely joyous, utterly joyous performance, but then again, it doesn't compare on other levels with other actors. So it's like comparing chalk and cheese.
And it's also, as you say, it's about your own state of mind, your own spirit, how your soul receives things at different times. I mean, everything. Gene Kelly, Montgomery Clift, I think, was extraordinary. Place in the Sun, Gina Rowlands.
Oh, we could go another hour but we've just run out of time. Hugo Weaving and Pamela Rabe, thank you so much for finding the time to come into The Pulse. We love having you here.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Great to be in Geelong.
And the play is on tonight and tomorrow night and tomorrow afternoon, God of Carnage, at the Ford Theatre at GPAC. You can get tickets by calling 5225 1200.